aggravated robbery. We robbed here and in the state of New York. Got 20 years here in the state of Texas and 3.5 there in New York. We fled. They call us Bonnie and Clyde.
I just cried out to God and asked him why. And he said, the reason you're going through what you're going through is because you don't trust me. Mm-hmm. And the reason you don't trust me is because you don't know me. And for the first time, I learned the God of the universe wanted a relationship with me.
Wow. When I say now, she was saying, you have to bring something to the table. I'm saying that to say that, and I'm saying this to say to everybody that's listening, everybody that'll hear this, do not settle for less than you are worth. It is important that you don't settle for less than you're worth. And the reason why I say that is because she came to the table knowing exactly who she was worth, who she is, and what she was worth. And she didn't settle for anything less than that. So that what that made me in turn do is make sure that I'm lined up and that I'm bringing to the table what I need to bring to the table. My leadership, my not just my manhood, but my godly manhood.
Have you or someone you know had your life turned upside down because of your past?
Of course I have.
Everyone does background checks now, which makes it hard to bounce back.
What do you believe?
I believe your background shouldn't hold you back. It should pay you back. This podcast will inspire you, motivate you, and inform you with everything you need to rise above your past and not be afraid to say, go ahead, check my background. My name is J. Dan Gum, and this is Background Check.
You already know. Let's go. You can check my background. I'm a forgiving felon, so tell them that I won't back down. No. You can bet I won't live in regret. It's time to earn some respect. You are tuning in to Background Check.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Background Check Podcast. I'm your host, Jaden Gum, and today's co-host is Snowman. Hi, Snowman. Brought to you by Forgiven Felons, helping people with the past realize their future. And also brought to you by The Way Back. The Way Back is the premier reentry broker firm in Dallas. You want down? You want to have your family call them now or when you get out, give them a call. All of our guys and gals that come, you know, the gals don't live with us, but they call us and we connect them with them. All right. So when you get out, call them. Counseling, job search. I mean, everything you need, clothes, hygiene, food, bus passes, everything you need, they have. All right. Or they can help you get. And so that's whether you come stay at Forgiven Felons or not. All right. So, and if you have friends, tell them to call when they get out. All right. So, I need to make sure I have my notes so I can stay on track. Also, when you get out, make sure you call or text or social media message us for your shirt. You can get a Forgiven Felon shirt like this. You can get a Keep Calm, I'm a Forgiven Felon shirt. You can get a, what's the other one? Background Check Podcast shirt, whatever you want, you can get. But now, listen, some of you are writing and asking for it before you get out. To have it shipped to the address before you get out? No. All right? You got to wait till you get out. All right? And then we'll do it. All right? I promise. I mean, here's another one. Leaf. Leaf just got his. We mailed off 7 more this week. So we should be getting some more pictures. And anyway, when you get out, check us out. All right? Hey, we got the Law of Reflection coming back up this Wednesday. Me and Twan are back at it. And we got a good discussion coming up. Law of Reflection. We just had a Law of the Mirror 2 weeks ago. Now we're gonna do Law of Reflection. All right. Need to say, here's Leaf in his t-shirt. And Leaf wants to say what's up to everybody at the Ellis unit. What's up, Ellis? Hope you guys are doing all right. Also I want to say thank you to Perry Williams on Life Row in Livingston Polunsky unit. Thank you for the book, man. I've got a couple books from you guys on Life Row, and I may read some out of it. You know, he's got some poems and some situations in there. Pretty cool. So thank you so much, Perry. Also, I want to let everybody know on Life Row in Polunsky Unit, I want to do this for other states, but I need to know how to find out y'all's death row inmate list. But in Texas, they just make a list. I'm going to start wishing you guys on Life Row happy birthday. All right. Let's see here. And we're just going to start that right now. All right. I want to be able to wish you guys on death row, life row, as we call it here in Texas. Happy birthday. I know sometimes y'all feel forgotten. And I know even in gym pop, sometimes you can feel forgotten. Okay. I don't have a way of getting everybody's birthday. Even if you email it to me or message or write it to me, I may lose it. I may forget. So don't, you know, this is something I just want to do for the life row, death row people, in January and February. So, Victor Gadañez had a birthday, January 26th. Happy birthday. William Davis had a birthday, February 3rd. Happy birthday. Let's see who else we got. And then we got Gary Green had January 14th birthday. Happy birthday. Paul Hall, February 18th. Happy birthday. Franklin Davis, January 17th. Happy birthday. And then let's see who else am I missing? Richard Tabler. We already said happy birthday to him. And then we have Anthony Francois, February 22nd. Happy birthday to you. Edgardo Cubas, February 7th. Happy birthday to you. Jamal Howard, the basketball player, coach? No. Jamal Howard, February 8th. Happy birthday to you. Anthony Haynes, January 22nd, one day after mine. Happy birthday to you. Luis Perez, January 8th. Happy birthday. Joel, I don't know which one it is. Escobedo, February 6th. Happy birthday to you. Larry Estrada, January 13th. Brittany Holberg, January 1st. All right. New Year's baby. Brittany Holberg, that's January 1st. Ronaldo Dennis, February 9th. Carlos Trevino, January 28th. Happy birthday. Darley Rudier, January 4th. Happy birthday. Garcia White, February 4th. Happy birthday. Scott Panetti, February 28th. Coming up. Happy birthday. Eugene Broxson, February 27th. Coming up. Happy birthday. January 30th. William Mason, happy birthday. And Willie Washington, had a birthday January 12th. So I just want to say happy birthday to all you guys on Life Row. And I know some of you have been there a long time. Some of you just got there. But I just want to let you know we're praying for you and you're remembered. You're not forgotten. And we love you guys. All right. Y'all spread the word to somebody. If you heard their name and you know they don't listen, let them know to listen. All right. Let's see the Wisdom Challenge. We want to do the Wisdom Challenge real quick. So today is Saturday, Proverbs 24. So on the Wisdom Challenge, we got this little thing. Oh, here. I want to read it. It says, when truth presents itself, the wise person sees the light, takes it in, and makes adjustments. The fool tries to adjust the truth so he does not have to adjust to it. That's a quote by Henry Cloud. And so let's read Proverbs 24. All right. If you want to follow along, I got it right there on the screen. Here we go. Proverbs 24. I was reading the Bible somewhere else. Let me get to Proverbs 24. Here we go. Don't envy evil people or desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their words always stir up trouble. A house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables. The wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. Wisdom is too lofty for fools. Among leaders at the city gate, they have to say nothing, or they have nothing to say. A person who plans evil will get a reputation as a troublemaker. The schemes of a fool are sinful. Everyone detests a mocker. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. So how do we get stronger? It tells you. Wisdom. Rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die. Those of you on death row that are wrongfully convicted, we're praying. We're praying that you get rescued. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. That Life Row, Death Row, that's for you. Rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to die, those of you who are unjustly sentenced. Save them as they stagger to their death. Don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands our hearts and sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. So we pray, anybody that's on life row that is wrongfully convicted, we pray that the truth be made manifest, you get a stay, and you win your appeals. In Jesus' name. My child, eat honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. In the same way, wisdom is sweet to your soul. If you find it, you will have a bright future, and your hopes will not be cut short. Don't wait in ambush at the home of the godly, and don't raid the house where the godly live. The godly may trip 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. Don't rejoice when your enemies fail. Don't be happy when they stumble. For the Lord will be displeased with you and will turn his anger away from them. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't envy the wicked, for evil people have no future. The light of the wicked will be snuffed out. My child, fear the Lord and the king. Don't associate with rebels, for disaster will hit them suddenly. Who knows what punishment will come from the Lord and the king? Here are some further sayings of the wise. It is wrong to show favoritism when passing judgment. A judge who says to the wicked, you are innocent, will be cursed by many people and denounced by the nations. But it will go well for those who convict the guilty. Rich blessings will be showered on them. An honest answer is like a kiss of friendship. Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Don't testify against your neighbors without cause. Do not lie about them. And don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I will get even with them. I walked by a field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then as I looked and thought about it, I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. That's Proverbs 24. Now, let me see what I chose. I chose verse 7. Wisdom is too lofty for fools. Among leaders of the city gate, they have nothing to say. Just another great reason for me to gain wisdom. So when God puts me in front of influential leaders, I can have intelligent conversations with them. If everyone around me is gaining wisdom and I'm not, they won't want to associate with me. All right. Let me see. I did the wisdom challenge. I noticed, okay, on my refrigerator, you know, refrigerators and freezers are fancy now. So it has all information, all kinds of information. I may get some pictures up there. But there's a filter that, you know, I can push my glass against the little water spout and get water, filtered water, out of my refrigerator. But like I said, it's filtered. So there's an actual water filter that I have to change about every 6-7 months. Okay. And there's a little notification on the water filter section, that tells you to order a new one. Okay. And it stays on that order for about a month. And then eventually it shows a red X and it says change. So it tells you to order one for about a month, gives you time to do it. And then it gives you a red X when it says nothing else can be filtered through this filter. You have to get a new filter. Okay. In other words, any water that passes through this filter was designed for you to drink pure water, to drink better water. It was designed that way. But over time, that filter can get clogged with things that it's blocking out of the water that you're drinking. Okay. And when enough stuff gets on that filter that's been filtered out, no more water can get through there without actually bringing the bad filtered stuff that we used to filter out, bringing it with it. And that's when it's time to change the filter. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Sometimes our spiritual filters need to be changed. we're really good about when we first get saved, or when we have an encounter with God, or when we go to that church service and the Lord gives a, you know, a great altar experience. We see people through the filter of Jesus and the cross. We see people through the filter of mercy and grace. But then life happens. Time goes by. Months go by. And that filter keeps getting stuff, putting stuff to the side so you can see that person pure as who they are, the image of God that they're created in. But sometimes our filter needs to be adjusted. Sometimes our filter needs to be taken out and thrown away because we're either looking through the wrong filter, or the filter gets so clogged and cloudy by perspectives and life and upbringings and college and different things. Our filter can actually help us, or our filter can cause us to see people in a different light. Our filter can cause us to see people through the eyes of our crime, through the eyes of our, what happened to us when we were a kid, through the eyes of our not getting past eighth grade in high school, junior high, through the eyes, people see us through the eyes of, failed relationships, through the eyes of failed finances. And sometimes we need to change our filter. And the Holy Spirit will tell you kind of like, well, hey, you're kind of like, you need to adjust your vision a little bit. But then there's a time where he comes like, no, you need to see these people through a different filter. You need to get a new filter on them. Quit looking at yourself and somebody else through the filter of their past, but look at it through the filter of the cross. All right. Hey, listen, I want to pray with you, but before I pray with you, I want to say one more thing. I know every week now it seems like our podcast is very long, anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours. And, you know, some of you might just go, hey, it's too long. I don't want to watch it. But let me suggest something to you, because this is what I do out here. You know, Joe Rogan has the number one video podcast in all of the nation, number one audio podcast. And his are usually between 2 and 3 hours long. But most people don't listen to them all at once. Okay. They listen to them 30 minutes at a time. And so what I want to suggest to you is if you don't have the time, or just can't listen to all this at one time, that's okay. Don't worry about that. You know, take in 20, 30 minutes at a time, take a break, go do other stuff, come back the next day. If you listen to a 2 hour episode, 20 minutes at a time, that's six sessions. That's 20 minutes a day, 6 days. Then you'll be here in time for the next podcast, you know, a week later. If you watch the growth series too, in the middle of the week, then you do 30, 40 minutes a day. And then there you are, ready for the growth series on Wednesday. So just a little tidbit to help you listen, pace yourself. All right. If you got time and you want to listen to the whole 2 hours. All right. I'm sorry, Jessa wasn't here today. I didn't know she was going over to her cousin's house. So that's why you got me and Snowman today. Snowman's asleep already. Evidently my voice puts him to sleep. I hope it didn't put yours to sleep. We got a great episode today. KJ and Marcia. I was saying her name wrong. I was calling her Marcia, but it's Marcia. So you're going to love their story. He did a lot of time in prison, New York, Texas. God brought them together, and it's just an incredible story. You're going to love it. Share it, and take the advice. It's our last installment of Love Month Love Stories. All right? Love y'all. Have a good day. Don't let your background hold you back, make it pay you back. All right, so let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this platform. Thank you for people listening. Thank you for everyone listening now, but also for the tablets to come in the future. Lord, thank you for giving us this platform. Thank you for giving us testimonies to share with everybody behind bars. Thank you for everybody on Life Row, Lord. Thank you for the birthdays in January and February, Lord. We pray that you just speak. We speak life into Life Row in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for all of them listening. But we also thank you for everybody else listening, Lord. We know everybody has prayer requests. We know everybody has things going on. So I just speak Jesus into everybody listening. I speak Jesus. Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. That's a great song, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. I speak healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. I speak to every inmate out there that's having headaches. Lord, we know we have headaches in the house that come, migraines. I speak the healing over those migraine headaches specifically right now, Lord. Right now, if somebody's having it, no matter when they're listening, Lord, if somebody's struggling with a migraine, I pray they reach out and receive this prayer over their migraine headaches right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I love you. We give you all the glory for what you're doing in this podcast, on this podcast, through this podcast. We thank you for expansion. We thank you for pacing us just the way we need it. We thank you for everybody writing in. We thank you for all the people coming to the house, Lord. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Background Check Podcast, where we believe your background shouldn't hold you back, but it should pay you back. And today's guests have found a way, spiritually, entrepreneurially, in every way, make their background pay them back. And so today I have some amazing guests, KJ and Marcia Holland. How are y'all?
Hey,
good.
Good.
And so just like me and Jessamy, Marcia is probably an amazing gem of a wife that has come alongside her husband to help him make his background pay him back, not hold him back. Did I guess right? Am I guessing right?
You're good. Yes,
y'all are going to love the story. It's incredible. I've already heard a little bit of it, and I've known you, KJ, about you for a little while through Katie.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Wayback. They're sponsors of the show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but we haven't really actually met in person until this morning. So I'm excited because I know part of your story. I didn't know all your story.
Yeah.
But this month, we're airing it this month because it's love month.
Yeah.
We want to hear love stories of people that have been impacted by incarceration.
Yeah.
So especially when they have great stories like yourself. So are y'all ready to tell it?
Sure.
Ready.
All right. So this is how we do it on the stories where there's a husband and a wife. We let the husband go first and then tell his side, his version, his perspective. Then we let the wife come back and correct all the mistakes.
You're right.
All right.
Right. Tell the truth.
So, but before we get started, I want you... Before we dig into your background, before we talk about how y'all met and the love story, tell us who you are right now. Like, who is KJ and Marcia Holland, your businesses, your ministry, tell everything you do now.
So I'll start so that you can come back in, make those corrections, necessary corrections. I am KJ Holland, man. There are many levels to who God has made me to be. I grew up in South Dallas, born and raised in Bonton. Started to live
life. Bonton Farms area, Bonton?
Yeah.
Okay. Bonton. All right.
I grew up in Bonton.
Have you been back to Bonton Farms?
I've seen it. Yeah. My daughter actually stays over there in that area now. Yeah. I've seen the farms and everything that they're doing over there. Yeah. I grew up in Rose Terrace apartments. You know, they tore all of those down back in the day, but that's where I grew up at. Went to H.S. Thompson, you know, elementary, you know, that was my area. And so
what about high school? Did you go to high school here?
No, I didn't. My daughter graduated from Lincoln. I graduated from Samuel's my high school, W.W. Samuel in Pleasant Grove.
Grove
in the Grove, man. Yeah. So started to live my life, man. I was super, super intelligent kid growing up, man.
I wanted to make sure you understood that when the camera's on you right now, you can see the Dallas Cowboy logo, not the Steeler logo.
Okay,
so just want you to know. I did that just for you, all right?
Listen, y'all know what it is.
Because they know. When it's the wide shot, you can see both of them. But when it's on KJ, it's on the Cowboy side. My wife did that, too, last week.
Go Cowboys one time.
Okay, now she's right, though, because I don't want to get into too much of your background.
Yeah.
I want to know who you are now.
Yeah. Well, who I am now is...
You own a business, so talk
I'm
about
a business,
your business.
Owner. Yeah, we are the owners of J Woodwork as well as Holland Central. We have we actually have an online store, jumped into e-commerce here recently in the last year. Been doing pretty good in both businesses. Learning the business, I'm a third-generation carpenter, so I didn't get into it until I actually took a class while I was incarcerated, learned woodwork, man, got out, started my own business, and making money with it today. And I'm also a servant of the Lord. You know, that's my most prized work that I'm able to do. You know, I enjoy serving His people. I enjoy making connections. Mm-hmm. I enjoy loving on people. I enjoy going back in, doing prison ministry. I enjoy it all, man. And just being able to see somebody's lives change and affect it is just a part of me. And
What units do you go to?
We actually go into Buster Cole right now.
Shout out to Buster Cole.
Yes. Yes. Hey, guys.
Fellas, Buster Cole. We love y'all, man. Our alpha class that we teach there every Tuesday morning, man, you guys are getting it. Keep on going. God has a purpose for your life, man. Yes. God has a purpose for your life. And we've also done work at, we've been down to the Polunsky unit. Shout out to our brothers down at the down there in Livingston, Texas, man. Shout out to Rami Hozaifa, all the brothers that are down there doing it big. That's where I started at. The Tank Radio, everything that's down there.
We've been on Tank Radio.
Yeah, they're my boys, man. I was there when all of that started, you know, before all of that started, because it's extremely big now. That unit has been extremely blessed. And also Hutchins right in Dallas, man. If you guys are at Hutchins and you know me,
hey,
we love you guys, man. Yes, just a shout out to y'all. Keep going. God got a purpose for your life, man. Yeah. You got a purpose for your life. So that's a bit about who I am, you know, right now, you know.
Yeah.
Also, you mentioned another business. What was the other business?
We actually have the construction business, which is our residential commercial remodeling business. But we also have jumped into e-commerce here recently.
Okay, so you have an online store.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so why don't we just kind of segue into Marcia introducing herself, and maybe her explaining what y'all sell on that store online.
So I am Marcia Holland, and I am a retired Navy chief.
Woo-woo! Thank you for your service.
Go Navy. I did 22 years.
Let me say this. We did a back in on Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. My daughter did a Veterans – she was part of the Veterans Day program at the school. And so they had to learn all the theme songs.
Oh, okay.
They don't call them theme songs. What do they call them? Fight songs?
Fight songs.
They learned all those. So, so then we recorded – we did a Veterans tribute on that particular podcast episode for that week.
Oh,
and
wow.
we played a video that played all the songs.
All the songs.
Oh,
she sang
cool.
with them because she knew them all.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. So you said you would sing the Navy song for us. Is that right?
I got it.
22 years in the Navy.
Yes. For your service. 22 years. And retired as a Navy chief.
She retired. When she says she retired as a Navy chief, she wasn't just a Navy chief. She was boot camp instructor.
Yeah.
She was an aircraft mechanic. So she knows more about tools than I do. Mm-hmm. She was a flight deck chief. She's done it.
Wow.
Yeah, she did it. She did it. I asked her to send me her resume one time, and then her sending me her resume was about 10 pages long.
It was not 10 pages.
I was like, wait a minute, you got all these, you know, and then I look at her, what is it called, your shadow box. Her shadow box, and she has all of her pins all of her medals and stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm amazed at who she is and how she came through and just the woman of God she is now, man. So, yeah. Hey, girl.
Hey.
You know, the only thing that I have that's 10 pages long or longer is my background.
Sure.
My rap sheet.
Come on, man.
Well, I had to do a background check for the church one time, And I brought it home. My wife's looking at it. She goes, "This big stack is your background?" I'm like, "Yep,
been there, done it."
Well, we're glad to have y'all here, and we can't wait to hear your story. Obviously, we want to hear how you met. We want to hear, you know, what a heathen you were for so long.
And
I didn't really say this, but if you got a Jesus story too, throw your Jesus story in there as well, Marcia, because. You know, your Jesus story and his Jesus story, while has only recently joined to make an amazing Jesus story.
Yeah.
You know, Just Me had her story in the past and I had mine, but God was crafting all of us together mm-hmm. you know, to come and make a kingdom yeah. power couple. And that's what you guys are, a kingdom power couple.
Yeah.
I saw a live last night on Facebook, and you were doing, like, playing the piano, worship.
Yeah,
and,
I was doing
and
worship
Bible
at
study.
The church, yeah.
So is that what's tonight? Today's Thursday, so that
Wednesday
was Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Is that a service, a Bible study?
Yeah, we have a Bible study every Wednesday night at our church. We have a Bible study every Wednesday night at our church, man.
Shout out to your church.
Oasis Church, man, we love you guys in Richardson, Texas. We thank you, our pastor Tumani and Mercia Rioba. They are in Tanzania right now celebrating our minister of music's wedding. And so I'm just filling in this week. I'm on the worship team.
Pastor Hezron.
And our pastor Hezron. Pastor Hezron, we love you. He's one of our main mentors, our associate pastor in the church. He's one of my big mentors in helping me navigate growth and leadership and stuff like that. So shout out to Oasis Church and our men's ministry. Keep going, brothers. God got you. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah. All right. So if you need, if you get out, guys, and you're in the Richardson area, anywhere in that area, and you want to go to a church, you know, check them out.
Yeah.
Just piling up the church. Oasis, what? Just Oasis?
Oasis Church.
Oasis Church in Richardson. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Y'all make sure y'all check them out. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into this background.
Let's go.
the reason we called it a background check is because God likes to take negative in my life and turn it into something positive.
Yeah.
Even the words forgiven felons, before it was the name of our ministry, it was a mindset change.
Mm.
And I did not want to be associated with that word felon. I was asking God to take it away. And he goes, no, you're going to embrace it. And but you're not going to see it the way you normally see the word felon. I'm going to put an adjective in front of that noun, and that adjective changes the whole perspective on the noun. And so, you know, even my TDC number, you know, 1175627, I use it in all my past units that I've been on. I don't let it just sit there and do nothing. I put it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, nowadays you got to have a password for everything. So I use some combination of my unit and my TDC number for all of my passwords.
Mm.
That way I never forget my passwords. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, and no one will ever figure it out because I was on five different units. So
I'll
never know which unit I was on and how to use it and what category and what it was. So yeah, but I don't let anything in my past. It's taken from the Bible verse that says, well, let the thief steal no more, but let him pay back 7-8 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a demand on my background to pay me back. And every time I share a story about Jesus, my background's paying me back. Every time I go speak and get paid, my background's paying me back. The book is going to actually literally pay me back one day.
Yeah.
Y'all are sharing your story here. Your background's paying you back. Anytime you hire somebody in your business that has a background, your background is paying you back. You know, you said you took a carpentry or whatever in prison, you know, so your background, every time you get a check for work you do, your background is paying you back, you know? So that's what this is all about. You're sharing your story of how you're allowing your background not to hold you back, but to pay you back.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And that's what gives other people sitting on the inside and either people on the outside that have been impacted hope. So talk a little bit about KJ real quick. Talk a little bit about what it was like growing up in the KJ Holland household. Brothers, sisters, dad, strict, church, no church.
Yeah, you know, man, for me, it has been life, you know. Grew up with my mom most of the time. My dad was around here and there when he could be. It was a little schism, so, you know how that is. Just living life where we were in the position we were in. I would spend a lot of time with my grandmother on my mom's side. So we would go to church, and my grandmother was Baptist, or sometimes she was Holiness, depending on, you know, how much they shouting at church.
I got you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about, man. Wow, that's funny.
You know, my mom had gotten into Seventh-day Adventist, and she was getting deeper into that. And as I grew up, you know, I decided to choose Jesus over all. You know, I didn't aspire to a certain religion. I realized that denominations create separation more often than not. Religion creates separation more often than not. And so for me, I just choose to follow Jesus and the word of God. If it's not lining up with that for me, it's not what it is. You know, I actually started working on my degree in theology while I was in this last time to just really get deeper into the word. I had been studying for so long while I was incarcerated because I did 14 years my first time down for aggravated robbery. And during that time, it was rough. You know, it was rough.
Man. Well, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
What was going on in your life before that first time? Were you hanging around the wrong people, places, things? You know, let's talk about how you got to that first charge first. Like, you know, what was going on in your life, family, you know, that caused you to veer towards that crime that you went to prison for?
So several members of my family had been incarcerated before, but my mom did as best as she could, excuse me, to try to keep me and my little brother off the streets, you know, try to keep us on the straight and narrow, try to keep us doing right. You know, I was, as a youngster, I was super intelligent. As I said before, I was always A honor roll. I was always, you know, advanced classes, you know, different things of that nature. And as I got older, I began to grow. You know, I began to try to find my way. And I just began to make decisions based on what would be good for me at the moment. You know, what do I need at the moment or what I wanted to do? And that kind of led me into where I ended up, which was prison. You know, that led me to making choices of, I had a girlfriend at the time, who I was really close to, and her and I were just really just trying to find our way. You know, we were just trying to find our way, and we were still young, so young.
Was there drugs, alcohol involved at this point?
There actually wasn't. You know, I wasn't really any heavy into alcohol. Wasn't really ever heavy into drugs. Money and women were my vices. You know, I would chase that at all costs. You know, and that ended up affording me the opportunity to make bad choices, that I would chase that at all costs. You know, and
I stole a car,
yep. You know,
come on.
Yeah, she said, come on.
Hey, yeah. The wrong women will make you do crazy things.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. And aggravated robbery. We robbed here and in the state of New York. Got 20 years here in the state of Texas and 3.5 there in New York. We fled. They call us Bonnie and Clyde. And
which state did you commit the
Texas
first, then you fled to New York
and committed another
up there as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were it was, the story kind of goes a little deep to the point of we could have eventually had a life sentence. But we, the Lord kept us in that moment. And, it was only God. We got caught in a blizzard, a snowstorm in Buffalo, New York, Clarence, New York, outside of Buffalo. And my life changed at that moment. You know, it changed to the fact of it was no longer me making decisions. Somebody else was making decisions for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to deal with it. You know, I got locked up at such a young age, and it was still turning. The tide was still changing in the structure of prison politics. When I say prison politics, I mean who's working in the prison, who's doing what. You know,
so
I came in
2000, right?
Yeah, it was 2000. I came in at a super young age and at the change of a tide, you know, and so it was a lot going on then. But for me,
so you got 20-year sentence. So you got 20-year sentence.
Uh-huh.
And how long did you do on that 20?
I did 14 flat on that. I got out of, did almost 10 years on Polunsky unit down in Livingston.
Out of that 14, you did 10 on Polunsky. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What was it like, man, when you first got into prison?
Man, I didn't come out of myself like a month. I was distraught. Didn't know what I really got myself into. You know, I was young, man, thinking I'm listening to the DAs. I mean, not the DAs, the public defenders, you know, listening to the throw me under the bus, you know.
Now, had that time, your New York case has already been dropped, time served, or
no,
have you even got those?
No, I haven't even, I got
they
locked up.
They have to go back and extradite you?
Yep, they flew me back on, me and my girlfriend at the time flew us back, because we were together, flew us back on a private plane to Texas to stand charge after we had got sentenced in to 3.5 in New York. And they flew us back to Texas to stand trial here. We got our time here. They flew us back to finish our time there. Then flew us back to Texas to continue our time here. and you talk about.
So you were multitasking.
If you want to call it that. Listen, man.
Hey, multitasking with your crimes in different states.
Listen,
know,
I mean, man.
There's talent there. We just need to put it in a different direction.
Definitely, definitely. Because it became rough, man. It became rough of getting to know myself and getting to know what boundaries to set in life for others. You know, all of that, man. You know, I essentially, because it's, I say this, you know, I love my mom and I love my family and what they were able to do for me and teach me growing up. But essentially, it takes a man to teach a man how to be, to teach a boy how to be a man. And if you don't have that, a lot of times that is what we're dealing with so much now in society. You know, we're dealing with that. And I really didn't have my dad in my life the whole time. You know, he was there. He wanted to be there. You know, my dad and I now have a great relationship. You know, I call my dad all the time and check on him every day. You know, I can go down and see him and my grandparents on my dad's side, spend time with them, you know, and, you know, everything that he wasn't able to give to me then, he's giving to me now. You know, he's like, son, I got this for you. Let me tell you, let me show you this. So let me talk to you about this, you know? And, I've learned that, you know, when I was doing my time then, I didn't know how to be a man, you know? And so I had to learn, you know, I grew up on the streets of South Dallas, but you can only learn so much from your peers that are around you that are your same age and different things of that nature.
So after that first month,
when
you came out of your cell, were you serving the Lord at that point at all, or even intentions to?
I had a semblance of a relationship with God. I had a semblance of it, meaning I had a religion.
Yeah.
I had a religion. Okay. So
did you get caught up early in the prison games? And
I did later on, did get caught up with learning how to, manipulate around stuff and different things of that nature. I wasn't that guy because I still had a something inside of me that said, just do it right, man.
Just do right.
You know, I just still had that. And so a lot of the lessons that I learned from my mom and from my grandmother and them growing up, and my family, man, you know, a lot of the lessons that I learned growing up is that if you tell the truth, they would say, you don't have to try to cover up your lie.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would try to live right, even though I was still being taught different things of how to navigate, how to manipulate, I was being taught those things. I was still young. I was 17, 18 years old, you know, coming into this. And so.
And when you're in prison.
Yeah.
People that have been in there a long time have all that stuff down. They know how to do it. So if you don't at least learn how to do it, you're not going to learn how to combat them when they start doing it to you. Even if you don't want to do it, you've got to learn how to respond or react to it being done to you, or you're going to feel.
I would tell my wife all the time that, you know, because she didn't know anything about it, and she would have questions with me on it. She'd be like, well, what is this or what is that? Or how would you deal with this? I said, babe, you know, it's all in how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
If you living like this, they're going to approach you like this. If you walking around like you a gangster, they're going to approach you like that. That's how you're going to be approached by not just the inmates, but the officers, you know. And that's why I talked to my guys about, you know, Buster Cole. We were talking about that last week. We were talking about a lesson on anger. You know, you deal with that, you deal with anger how you deal with anger, even in here, like when you're silly, he on the top bunk and he's got his feet down hanging in your face. You know, you hit his feet and there y'all go, y'all going back and forth. You know, you dealing with all of that type of stuff. And so I would tell her all the time, for me, it was, I carried myself a certain way. And for me, I would say this on top of how I would carry myself is that God kept me. And I say this to say that one of my first cellies, his name was Abram Cotton, who is now Pastor Abram Cotton, yeah, of a church in New York. He was one of my first cellies. And my whole journey of prison, the Lord placed people around me, man, that were at least trying to get it right.
Yeah.
And they were able to, you know, okay, and probably ain't something you need to get into, you know, and that type of thing. Or if you're going to get in the game, you need to get on in the game. You can't play one foot in, one foot out. You know, they would give me those sentiments to say, hey, man, you know, pick a choice of how you're going to live. You know,
that's true. Even though when I first got to prison, I was not serving the Lord.
Yeah.
And it was at, you know, I did 6 weeks at Gurney and then I got shipped to Buster Cole.
Mm.
And I was immediately prospected by a white gang on Buster Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And something inside me, I've never been around gangs. I've never been part of gangs. When we were kids, we grew up in Oak Cliff, South Dallas, you know, Hampton, Illinois. It was where we lived, you know, and the people that I went to school at a private school, and the people in my neighborhood didn't look like the people at my school. And it kind of was like weird, but it taught me how to see everybody, no matter what the color.
Yeah, yeah.
As equal from a young age, you know, and that's we learned that in our neighborhood. We didn't learn it at school.
Yeah.
We learned it in the neighborhood that everybody's, you know, and they looked at me, even though I was the only white kid, you know, not the only one, but one of the few ones.
Yeah.
But Buster Cole, man, somebody came up and said, hey, man, I forgot the exact initial question, but it prompted me to answer, hey, man, you know, I think he said, what color are you down for? And I said, well, I don't know what that means. And I said, because I don't affiliate with gangs.
Yeah.
He said, well, so if you want to just be solo, then we need to know that if a riot goes down, we need to know what color you're for.
Watch this. That reminded me of the first time I got shipped, when I got shipped upstate in New York. After I got sentenced, I got shipped upstate, and I go into a dorm, and I'm pulled aside by the Crips. They was like, hey, man, this is a Crip house. If you're a Blood, you can't stay in here. You know, I was like, I'm from Texas, man. I don't bang nothing. You know, I'm me. I'm by myself. And they pull us into a room, all the new guys. They like, say, man, can we holler at y'all in the TV room, man? What's up? I'm like, all right, what's up? Now, mind you, the officer is sitting at this desk inside the dorm, not saying a thing. Not saying nothing. Not even, they minding their business. I'm like, oh, okay. So, and I'm already knowing that I have to be on point. I'm from the streets, but I'm not of the streets.
Right.
You know, I'm knowing now I got to be on point. I don't know what's about to jump off. So I bag my back up to the wall, you know, and I'm getting prepared. Just if it jump off, I got to protect myself. I got to defend myself, you know. And they like, hey, man, you want some smoke? In New York, they smoke. So they're like, nah. I'm like, I don't smoke. I'm good, you know, cigarettes. They got cartons of cigarettes, all the Crips. They got everything they need. I'm like, okay, all right. He was like, look, man, we just letting y'all know it was me and two other guys. It's just, we letting all y'all know again, man. We just letting y'all know if y'all Bloods, man, if we get word that y'all Blood or anything like that, man, anything outside of Crippin', y'all got to get out of this house. And that reminded me of the story of what you were just saying, because as soon as I said, nah, I'm good, it was like, all right, they called me Big Tex. All right, Big Tex, you can go, because I was tall. You know, all right, Big Tex, you good, bro. I was like, all right, man, I'm sure I'm going to go back to my bunk and get ready for lunch. No, as soon as I left out of there, they took off on mother two in the room because they knew who they were. You know, they knew who they were. They was trying to hide in the dorm. And I was like, ah, man. I went back to my bunk. And I'm sitting there. I'm looking over because it's the short cubicles. I'm looking back. I'm like, it's going down. The officer sitting at the desk ain't saying nothing. I was like, oh. I said, okay. I said, but I learned early on, I got to protect myself.
Yeah.
You know, you got to set boundaries. If you don't, People walk all over you, man.
Now, what jail was that?
That was up in Green Correctional Facility in New York.
All right. Rikers. It wasn't Rikers, though.
Nah, I went upstate from, I got locked up in Clarence and Buffalo, New York, and then I went upstate from there. Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, okay. Tired of hearing you talk, so we're going to let Marcia talk.
Cool.
Marcia. Yeah. So, yeah. So we know that he's been down twice. Mm-hmm. We know, and maybe we might even dig back into it again. But I know if I let you start telling the story of how y'all met the second time that he's down, we'll come back into play anyway. So let's have you start telling everybody how you first heard about the magnificent, tall, dark, and handsome KJ Holland.
Yeah.
I actually saw a picture of him. I was here in Texas. I'm actually, I had retired from the Navy. And moved, I was stationed in Virginia. And so I retired in Virginia, had a home in Virginia, had a house in Virginia, but I went to Texas for school.
You want to shout out your school?
Okay, right, yes, Lifestyle Christianity. I also went to Regent University in Virginia.
Where she
and
got
my Christian ministry
degree. Yeah,
she got Christian ministry. But
so do we call you Reverend?
No, actually,
she doesn't like titles, but I always mess with her about that. I'm like, babe, you are essentially a minister. You are.
I get it. I don't like to be called pastor. I'm a credentialed minister as well, but I don't know.
Well, it's only a bachelor's, though.
That makes you.
But anyway, I actually just went to college to learn about Christianity. I didn't grow up in Christian.
Okay.
Christian.
What did you grow up in? What did you know growing up? Any religion at all?
No. My mom.
Heathen? You grew up in heathen?
Basically, yeah. My mom was... she just moved all over the States when we were younger, and she was from Texas, Beaumont, Texas.
409.
Born in Beaumont, but lived in San Antonio area, Poteet, but got married to my dad, and he was in the Army, and I was actually born in Germany, but came back to the States, and my mom divorced, and then just kept moving back and forth all over the States, all over the East Coast and the Midwest. And my mom was a waitress, and so she had us not in the greatest places and things like that, me and my sister. And so around 11, my mom lost custody of us, and I went to live with my dad in Maryland, and that's where I found Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus, but then my dad and I, we had a falling out, so I went back to live with my mom in my sophomore year. And I was in the military when I really got to know Jesus, because basically, fast forward, my life was falling apart. I was about to get kicked out the Navy at 18 years. And I just cried out to God and asked him why. And he said, the reason you're going through what you're going through is because you don't trust me. Mm-hmm. And the reason you don't trust me is because you don't know me. And for the first time, I learned the God of the universe wanted a relationship with me.
Wow.
And it changed my life forever. And I have been on that journey. So when I went to college, I actually was just going to learn about Christianity because I didn't know anything about it. Mm. And I was in Virginia Beach, and Pastor Willie at House of David was... And
shout out to House of David.
Yes,
shout out
they were amazing. actually, Pastor Carol, she's no longer with us, but Pastor Carol and Pastor Willie, they just taught me so much about Jesus and just having a relationship with him and Holy Spirit and how Holy Spirit walks with you and spends time with you. And so when in 2012, when I did have that breakdown, I was talking to the Lord and he said, and I asked the Lord who I would marry when I grew up. And he said, my husband would be riding in on a white horse. Well, a couple years later, I find out what that means.
Yeah.
White meaning pure, horse meaning power. My husband would be full of the Holy Spirit. Mm. So I knew who I was looking for.
Right. I told her when she met me, I was wearing all white. Yeah. So...
And you're the size of a horse.
Right.
There you go, man.
And so I see a picture of him, a really handsome picture of him.
It's an old picture of me though.
Yeah. From my friend who, okay, so I'm in Texas now and I'm going to college at Lifestyle Christianity. And so my friend, she gets married to a guy that was knew him
right
in prison. But I didn't know, you know, he just showed me the picture.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, he's nice looking. And I kept going because I had just told the Lord.
Wait a minute. You say you just kept going like you just brushed over me real fast.
I did.
Yeah, so he was cute, but he wasn't that cute. You just brush over him and go.
I was wondering about him, but he didn't say anything else about him.
Right.
So, and I wasn't that type of girl that I was just going to ask about it. And plus, the Lord had we just had a conversation. Me and the Lord just had a conversation. They, because I was looking so hard for a husband, I got my feelings hurt from a guy in the school. Cause I was like, oh, I'm at Lifestyle Christianity. I'm going to find my husband, all this and that. So I meet a guy and he doesn't like me or he brushes me off. And so I run to the altar and I cry to the Lord and he says, am I enough?
Mm.
And I was like, yes. yes, you're enough, but you're going to have to take these feelings away from me.
Yeah.
And so that was at that time when I was in that place. And so now that I'm saying no to guys, that's when they're all coming at me.
Oh, yeah. That's how God works.
You know?
God works. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want anything. So his, my roommate's husband now. Yeah.
So, I mean, Evan's his name. I know Evan. You knew Evan.
Yeah.
Evan contacted me when he got out.
Yeah.
So, Evan. And so Evan's the one who showed you the picture of KJ.
Yes.
You brushed off, and then you got brushed off. So then you learned how that felt. Right?
Did.
I mean, come on.
Did.
And so, but now, okay, so now where are you at? When do you actually go, okay, let me visit this KJ Holland guy again?
Okay, so after I find out about Evan and his past, then he says to me, and I'm like, well, what about KJ? Like, where is he at? Who is he?
Okay, so let me set it up. So you didn't really understand, you didn't know Evan's full past at that point.
Right.
And then, so when Evan started showing his full past,
right,
then you said, well, where's KJ? And then Evan says, oh, well, he's kind of, you know.
He's there. He's
there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, where? He's like, there. And I was like, where's there? Like, and he goes, there. I was like, jail? And he goes, yeah, prison.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the difference between jail or prison. Yeah. And so
she didn't know nothing. She didn't know the difference between lotion and
Really?
And yeah, her first time sending me a package, she sent me 4 bottles of lotion just so she said she didn't want her brother to be ashy.
White people, yeah, white people lotion?
No, regular lotion. Butter and cocoa butter lotion. 4 bottles. I was like, I don't need 4 bottles of lotion. No, go ahead, baby.
No, there were different types. I just didn't know that the types were the same thing.
Yeah, she
said, I didn't know the same thing was lotion. So, whatever. Oh. Silly.
So now you're asking about him, you're inquiring about him.
Well, we really didn't talk too much about him. He just told me who he was, and he asked me if I would still talk to him.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I guess so. But it took the Lord. So 3 days, I was just, whatever I picked up, even the Bible, it was about Joseph.
Right.
And how Joseph was
sold into slavery.
Yeah, sold into slavery, went to Potiphar's house, went to prison, and then he was
in the palace.
Prison palace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Prison palace.
And so he I wake up on the third day and the Lord is, because I fall asleep just reading the book. And I could feel how Joseph felt being forgotten by the cupbearer.
Right.
You know? And so when I woke up, the Lord's like, you have to let him know he's not forgotten.
Mm, wow.
So I knew exactly who God was talking about. And so I wrote him a text message and I sent it to Evan, and he sent an email to KJ, and that's where he called me. He called me on 3-way, and we talked for the first time, and my spirit jumped when I heard his voice.
Nice.
And the first thing I say is, I know who my husband's gonna be.
You said that?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, she told me, she was like, I don't play.
Yeah.
I don't play. I know who my husband is going to be. And the Lord told me he's going to be
riding in on
a white horse. And I was like, well, I'm wearing white. I told him I'm wearing all white
He didn't say all that. Okay. He didn't say all that. Thinking it, but he didn't say it.
But I did say this. I did tell her this, you know. I told her that that I had been praying for the Lord to do something different. I wanted something totally different in my life, just all the way around. I wanted to, because the way that I was going, it was not working for me. Yeah. You know, and a lot of men that are in prison now, they get stuck, Jada, and they get stuck in that cycle thinking that their way is going to work. Mm-hmm. And it's not producing what they desire it to produce for them. And so I was at the point where I was already at a low point, and I asked the Lord to send me something. Lord, I need something totally different. Not just send a woman.
What happened when I sent you that you're not forgotten? Where were you at that time?
Where was I at? You're interviewing me now? Is that,
okay. Yeah, no, that's a good question.
That is a good question. I was at a low point. I hadn't, you know, going through divorce, second time in prison, man, on a violation, man, messed up, lost everything that I had already started building, because I had a business before, and just was at a bad place, man. Just wanted to.
Well, and I want to say, because we talked about it earlier, You had a 20 the first time.
Uh-huh.
You were still serving parole on that when you got that violation and a new charge.
Yeah.
So you were back in, but then you had a new charge on top of that, or was it running concurrent?
It was running concurrent.
Okay.
I was still under my old number because that time wouldn't eat up, you know, my old charge. My old charge was a 20-year sentence. But the way to say Texas, where they just add that on the back end.
Right.
So my exit date became 2023. Rather than 2020, you know, I hate that they do that, but you know, things will change eventually. Yes. So I'm definitely an advocate for change, but and when I say advocate for change, I was an advocate for changing myself at that point. You know, I wanted to really grow. I wanted to grow, man, and I wanted to not be in the position I was in ever again. You know,
so that encouragement letter from her, that message from her, how did you feel after that?
I sat on my bunk. I was bottom bunk. I had that bottom bunk pass, y'all. Y'all know what that bottom bunk. I had the bottom bunk, and I sat on my bunk and read that email she sent me because they had just started doing the JPay stuff and all of that type of stuff, you know. And she sent me that, man, and knocked me loose. All I could do was cry. I was like, "Lord, is this what you're doing?" Because he said, "I got you." He told me, he said, "I got you. I need you to do what I told you to do." You know, I'm like Jonah, go to Nineveh. No, Lord, I don't want to go to Nineveh. Don't worry about it. This whale going to swallow you up until you get where I told you to go, you know. And a part of our ministry now, even now, at that point, you know, is still affected by that moment that the Lord told me through her. You know, she allowed the Lord to speak through her to tell me that I wasn't forgotten. And I was crushed. You know, I was crushed. When I say crushed, it was like, say, man, that's just what I need to hear. It's just what I needed to hear, you know, at that point. So,
because he was at a point, he was at a place. And one thing was really good in our relationship is that we were able to talk, like real talk. Because, like I told him, I don't play.
She said,
you know?
She said that. She did say she don't play, y'all.
You know, and so we had some really hard conversations. And one thing that I just see that the Lord did in his life is that he changed him while he was in there. He became completely free while he was behind locked doors. And it changed his life, you know. And I really believe that the Lord was able to finally, like, grab a hold of him and look him in the eye and change him, you know, because he had an encounter with God at that time. He's talked to me because I've been to Hutchins and I actually saw the bunk where he was back in
to teach a class with me. That, show her the bunk that I was sleeping in when she first contacted me.
Right. And that he was able to show me where he was completely delivered from everything.
Pornography, everything.
And the Lord has changed his life for real. That we're able to go in and talk to these guys about real stuff.
Wow, so good.
Yeah.
All right, so obviously you're just talking, visiting while you're still in prison, but it does seem to be at some point, when do y'all, I mean, I know what you said the first time that you saw him or talked to him or whatever, but at what point did that, you know, I know who my next husband or my husband's going to be. At what point did that start to really settle in with both of you?
For me, I told her, I said, the Lord, that the first time she came to visit me, they called me out and by mistake, they allowed me to go into contact visit. It was by mistake.
By divine mistake.
So as I'm going, I'm wondering who is coming to visit me. I'm like, man, you know, I had just not too long ago, I had a visit with my daughter. She cried because I was missing her graduation, you know, going through that whole thing. I was missing a lot of her life, missing her getting ready to go off to college. I was missing it. So she came. She's like, Dad, you said you was going to be here, but you're not. You know, and that crushed me, and I was getting crushing all over, you know, but I love my baby, man. She's made me so proud and growing in who she is. Javion, I love you, sweetie. You're amazing. Just want to tell you that, baby. I love you. And so as I was going through that thing, I was getting ready to go in to visit. I peeked. There was a little crack in the window so I could see out. And I was like, man, I don't see nobody I know out there. And then she had a dress on, a black dress. I'll never forget that black dress, girl. I'll never forget it. She had this dress on. She took her jacket off, and she was standing up. Yeah, you're standing up. And I peeked out, and the Lord told me at that moment, he said, that's your wife. Go get her. And I wasn't supposed to be in the contact visit, so they let me out. I went out there. She didn't really notice me, but I whispered in her. I was like, hey, baby, hey, sweetie. And she looked up, and she looked at me kind of sideways, and she's like, you don't look like your picture. She told me I catfished. I don't know how that, you know, I don't know how that, I don't know how that works.
It's
but
true.
Yeah. true. I didn't send you the picture. That was
because Evan, because Evan sent, showed her an old picture
older,
of you.
A little older picture. Yeah.
From the first time you got out.
Yeah.
So it was a little different.
Yeah.
Probably had a few more soups on you.
And I had, yeah, I had no haircut. I wasn't too tight. But when she heard me, I hugged her.
I heard, I knew his voice, you know, so I knew he was, it was who he was. But I was just like, oh, Lord, what am I getting myself into? You know, like, I trust you, you know, because at the, when I first got to know the Lord, you know, when I first asked the Lord why, he said, it's because you don't trust me, you know? And so now I trust him. So I can, you know, I know him, I trust him. And so he's actually the first guy that God has actually ever let me have a relationship with, because I was actually single for 5 years waiting for my husband.
I'll say that.
And that it, I was kicking and screaming at times. She was ready to go.
She was ready to.
She was ready to meet somebody.
Yeah.
And in fact, my family.
My family weren't okay with us being together. They didn't know what was going on. And
well, your family was more.
They were more accepting.
Well, they were more accepting on the surface.
Right.
It wasn't until after we got
right.
married that we really saw what was really going on.
Right.
But now it's just a beautiful thing, too. But it was also because they had to.
He had hurt them. I hurt them.
You know,
getting locked
he hurt
up.
Them.
And
it, so it wasn't necessarily me. It was now we got another girl, you know, because they fall in love with the girls that he is with. And then now, you know, so they, and, you know, I don't look like all of them.
Yep.
You know, so.
I'm a little light skinned.
Yeah, I'm light skinned, you know, and so, but my family, my friends and stuff,
they were like, be careful. What are you doing?
Yeah.
They was like, girl, you is tripping.
Because, you know, I'm retired Navy chief, you know, very
orderly.
That and that it was just
her status.
Very respected,
yeah, her status.
Because I'm so trusting and I'm so loving that people were just like, Marcy, what are you about to do? You know, you're about to really get hurt by this. And I was just like, but I trust God. Like, God knows. And so we would have those hard conversations. Don't get me wrong. I didn't just walk into this. But for me, the Lord told him.
She told me, I better bring something to the table. She said, look.
That's an order.
Yeah, I better bring something to the table.
But the Lord told him that I was his wife. Yeah. But he didn't tell me I was his wife.
And let me say
he
this.
He allowed me to see it happen.
Wait, well, let me say this.
And wait I'm a saying, minute. But what about what you said on that first phone call or whatever or something? Didn't you say something like, I know who my husband's going to be?
Right,
yeah.
But I didn't know him.
But you didn't know a person.
Yeah.
You were just saying the white
we were just talking.
Okay, I got
my husband is going to be full of the Holy Spirit. And he said, that's me. And I said, well, we'll find out.
I had those kind of conversations all the time.
That was my lead off with guys.
Right, I got
like,
you. That makes sense.
Guys were like, well, that's me. And I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll see.
Let me
so that's
this.
How I was always with.
Because I want to say this because when I say now, she was saying, you have to bring something to the table. I'm saying that to say that, and I'm saying this to say to everybody that's listening, everybody that'll hear this, do not settle for less than you are worth. It is important that you don't settle for less than you're worth. And the reason why I say that is because she came to the table knowing exactly who she was worth, who she is, and what she was worth. And she didn't settle for anything less than that. So that what that made me in turn do is make sure that I'm lined up and that I'm bringing to the table what I need to bring to the table. My leadership, my not just my manhood, but my godly manhood, you know, as being a leader, being able to see or have a vision to say, hey, babe, we can do this, you know, or we can make this happen. And let's go in this direction because God is doing some things here. You know, even today coming down to this podcast, she was like, babe, can we just, cause we do a lot of Zoom meetings and we have a lot going on in Dallas. She was like, babe, do we need to go down there or can we do a Zoom or what? Today I was like, babe, we need to be in the place. We need to be in the place because it's, being in the atmosphere brings a certain life to it, and so for her, she made me bring something to the table. She didn't make me because I was already ready to,
right?
But she put that standard for herself, that
got rid of all the other girls, all of the
no pen pals or none of that. Well,
he got rid of all the girls. And stayed with the lady.
With the woman. Yes.
The woman.
Yeah, definitely.
That's good. All right, so when you get out, what year did you get out?
We got out in 2020.
2020, COVID? What month?
September. COVID or?
So you were, I'll say that you out in the middle.
I was right at the, it was so crazy because.
You were getting out right when it was even getting worse than it was back in March and April when it first started.
Yeah, we were rarely speaking on the phone. They had us locked up most of the day.
They didn't even have tablets yet then, did they?
Nope.
I knew they were in the process of it.
Yep, they didn't have none of that. So I couldn't talk to her on the phone regularly. And then the Lord began to minister to her 2020, man, September. Began to minister to her to write me more.
Can I say one thing, though? Yeah. Okay, so I did come and see him because he left Hutchins and went to Dalhart,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I actually came twice, mm-hmm. right? And so the first time I came, I wanted to actually be able to touch him, right? But they said, well, you're going to have to talk to the warden about it, right? And I said, okay. So I leave the area and he actually...
The warden was stepping out of his office.
Right. So I prayed to the Lord. I went into the bathroom and I was like, Lord, there's too many offices around here. Like, who do I need to talk to? Right. So I was like, just put him in my path. And as I'm coming out of the bathroom, the warden is passing by me. And I said, are you the warden? He was like, well, yeah. I am. He was like, yes, I am. You know, he was all excited.
Yeah, you had it right. Loved him. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great. I was like, my boyfriend, Kevious Holland, is one of the inmates and everything. And he would like to have a contact visit with me. And he was like, well, if he's on good behavior and this, it can happen. And I was like, okay, great. And so he stayed on good behavior, everything. And then so it was actually New Year's of 2020 that we were able to see each other awesome. And actually have a contact visit for real this time.
2019.
No, it was 2020.
I got out in 2020.
Right, but you were in Dalhart.
In September. Oh, that's right. Yeah, 2020. Yeah. New Year's 2020. That's right.
2020.
2019, and I left.
Fellas, let this be a lesson to you. She's always right.
Right. Yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, she came to see me, man, and you talking about the fact that she was taking the time to drive from Virginia Beach to Florida to Fort Worth to Dalhart, Texas, just to spend a few hours with me spoke volumes to me, man. Spoke volumes to me just to bring me some Reese's and some Cheetos and a root beer out the vending machine.
Yeah, that was the weirdest combination.
Don't hate the
He would eat.
Hate,
Okay, he would eat the Cheetos,
uh-huh.
then the Reese's, together. And then wash it down.
I had
with
a chocolate covered Cheetos.
Okay, for me, it was Doritos.
Yeah,
and it was Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yeah, yes.
And Diet Coke.
Yes, sir. That's it.
And my
right
mom
there.
Would just pile all that up in the table in front of. The, I would come in. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be sick in 2 hours.
That's it, right there. Yeah.
But it was worth it.
You know? Yes, it was. Just so, kind of getting out of that environment for a little bit to be able to talk with her and just listen to her tell me. I would always have, because she's a Navy chief, man. I had so many questions because I love, you know, that type
he
of stuff.
He asked like 50 million questions.
I still ask her questions.
The first time we met, because after we actually had that first contact visit, the lady comes in and is like, she isn't supposed to be in here.
Yeah. So what happened was it was a God thing that I was able to come and just get, the Lord said, go get your wife. That's her. And I was able to give her a hug. And after that hug, the lady saw her in that dress looking all scrumptious and stuff. And you can't be in here. Wait a minute. It's not contact. You're not family. And they put us behind the glass.
Yeah. And I was actually able to look at him face to face and hear his voice, but look at his face. It was like we were on a podcast almost, like we were on a Zoom call. But it was like face to face.
So what has been, since y'all been out, got married, when did y'all get married? How
we got married in March 19th. 20.
You're doing
21.
Good. You're doing good. Good job. Yes. Good job.
Yeah.
See, but it was March 19th, 2019. That the Lord told me to let him know he's not forgotten.
Nice.
So it was
Nice. Yeah. I got married on April 18th, 2008, exactly 2 years to the date before that, April 18th, 2006, I was let out of prison.
Mm.
So I'll never forget my anniversary because I share it with the same day I got out of prison, April 18th. It rolls off my tongue. I don't have to sit there and think about it like you did.
Yeah,
That's all right. Hey, we are at our time where I know I got to get y'all out of here. I got to go.
Nah, you're good. You're good.
So as we close, I want to do two things. I want to talk about some challenges that y'all have had since you've been married.
Yeah.
Okay. Give some marriage tips to the people behind bars, people out here. You know, give some marriage tips. Share a struggle. Share a win. You know, like how you got over that struggle. But then also, we're going to end with just giving a message to the inmates and behind bars all over the nation. So
absolutely. Go ahead, babe.
So basically, when he was actually on the monitor, it was tough. It was really tough.
18 months.
But I just saw him no after no, but he overcame each thing. Like it would bring him down for a moment and then just he would get back up and keep moving. And it was like any time that, and I have dealt with like all kinds of depression and things like that from my military experience, all kinds of different things. And he has never been that kind of person to push me. Like basically, he's never called me out my name. He's very supportive. Baby, you've been in the military 22 years. You know, you can do whatever you want. Like, and it was like he just let the Lord love me. You know, one of the things that he said when he asked the Lord about me was that he protect me, that the Lord, he gave him two rules, to protect me and not to restrict my giving.
Wow.
Love you and not so she has a giving heart.
Wow, that's so cool.
And then he also asked the Lord to teach him to love me like the Lord loves me.
Right.
So it's very gentle.
Right.
It's very loving how he loves me. And Because
that comes from Ephesians 5, where it says, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loves the church.
Exactly.
Because we are the church. Exactly. You're the church. That was a pivotal moment in our marriage, too, after our first year of marriage was hell. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit said, you're not loving her the way I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the job I gave you in Ephesians 5, husband.
Yeah.
So, love your wife.
The way I love the church, the way Christ loves the church, the way my son loves the church is not the way you're loving your wife.
Mm. Yes.
And so yeah, I mean, that's.
So
that's,
that was, it's all, yeah. And so he has been the pillar of our household, you know, like I'll follow him anywhere. He really is. My parents, they love him now. My sister, she's actually got to meet him because he got off parole. He was able to go to Maryland. He was able to meet my dad and everything. And
even when I got off the monitor, they wouldn't let me go out of state. And so I had to wait till I get all the way off parole. And the first place she took me, we went out of state for a conference. And the first place, actually, we went to Mississippi first. But the first place that she took me was we went to Virginia Beach, and she took me on the beach where the Navy SEALs train, and let me put my feet in the sand and in the water of the ocean, you know. And I never been to the ocean, been in Texas all my life, you know. A lot of people are in that, you know, situation. They've never been out. They don't know that there's life outside of your neighborhood, you know. There's a whole world outside of your neighborhood, you know. And she took me over there, let me put my feet in the sand, man, and just we videoed that, me walking across the bridge.
Met my best friend, Felicia.
Yeah, I got a chance to meet her sister and them. So doing that, man, even us being able to do that, we've been able to, we went to church with her dad just to spend some time with her family. And for me, that was extremely important, you know, because when I asked her dad's hand, asked her dad for a hand in marriage, he was like, I don't know, I'm going to pray for you.
No. He's like, I don't know you.
I don't know you like that. I will pray for you, you know. And
we're like, thank you.
Yeah, but he is he's an amazing man. He's also retired Army. He was retired Army, correct? Yeah, her dad. And
tough guy, man.
And we have been through so many ups and downs. You know, my wife was here when my grandmother passed. She was at the house. My grandmother lived with us for a little while before she passed. And
he was able to be with her.
You know, it was two people that I really wanted to show the change that God had done in me. It was my grandmother and my daughter, you know. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother and my daughter, man, my grandmother came to stay with us for a while before she passed. And my wife, I was across town in Dallas working, and I got a call. My electrician was at my house running some wires for our vent hood and stuff like that. And he called me. He said, hey man, get home quick. I said, man, I'm trying to. I said, I'm in traffic. I said, what's wrong? You didn't electrocute yourself? And he said, I think Mima just passed. And all I heard was my wife wailing in the background. And even till this day, man, I'm like, I have watched my wife do things selflessly, you know. And for me to be able to give her the world, that's automatic. That's the least I can do, you know. That's the least I can do, you know. So when we talk about our love story, our love goes a lot deeper than, baby, I love you, or baby, I love you. You know, our love goes to the effect of her being the exact helpmeet that God called her to be for me, you know, because I needed her. I needed her. You know, I needed someone like her, someone who wasn't going to play, someone who wasn't just chasing me just because of what I can do. You know, some women will want a guy just because they can hustle or whatever. Yeah, I know I'm good because he going to make sure we good, you know, and that's okay. You're looking for a provider. But there's a certain level to this thing. Like even in that same book that you were talking about in Ephesians, it talks about, wives see that you respect your husband. A lot of men I'm seeing nowadays that because you're not loving your wife, she's not respecting you.
That's good. That's good. And that's true.
you know, and we see that.
One of the things I try to do is I tell them, look, like if we're talking to a couple that we're kind of counseling, I'll say, you got to forget the love your wife and the respect your husband for now. Mm-hmm. Let's go up a few verses
mm-hmm.
where it says, be mutually submissive to one another in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, when you're mutually submissive to one another in the Lord, then you're able, that's your together job.
Mm.
Then you're able to do your individual jobs, love your mm-hmm. love your wife and respect your husband with no issues and right. properly and correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people, you know, they just think that the wife is supposed to submit. No, we're supposed to be mutually submissive to each other, submitted mm-hmm. to each other mm-hmm. in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do it in the Lord, when you do it in society, it has a different meaning. But when you do it in the Lord, that takes it to a supernatural level. And then you're able to do the love your husband, the love your wife, and the respect your husband without any issues.
I mean, mm-hmm.
You know, just you're gonna have issues still, but
yeah.
That's good. You still got issues.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Still got issues.
Okay. So let's talk about. Okay, you said so an issue that would arise in a marriage. We're talking about marriage stuff. We're talking about our love story.
Preferably something that you've already overcame, not one that you're dealing with right now.
We like to be real. So we like, yeah, look. I'll say this.
Communication
is key, man. I've learned that, you know, a lot of times, like my wife, she knows me. She'll say something and I'll hear it and I may not respond immediately. I'll hear it. I hear you. You know, all right, babe, I hear you. And I don't respond immediately.
Because if I say what I said, you didn't say that.
I'll be like, you know, I don't remember you, but I heard it. You know, I heard it. And
but then like 10 minutes later, he'll be like, yeah, you did say that.
And when I say the Lord will correct you, brother, the Lord will get you in line concerning how you respond to your wife. You know, I've learned that she is such a gentle, amazingly soft. Now, mind you, she was a boot camp instructor. She was a boot camp instructor.
I'm amazing.
This is what I always ask her. I always ask her, like, hey, were you the one that, let me hear your, get drop down and give me a second. Let me hear that voice.
Absolutely.
I didn't have to be there.
She said, I never had to do that. She said, the anchor on my collar demanded respect.
Mm.
I had that authority already.
And the reason why I say that is because
I had other people doing that. I didn't need to scream.
So now watch this. The reason why I say that, if you translate that into what our marriage is and how we walk as people of God, she doesn't have to be demanding or disrespectful in our marriage to get
what she wears the anchor in her heart. The anchor.
Look, she used to be like this, babe, if you go to tripping, I'm going to tell daddy on you. You know what I'm saying? She'll be like, I'll tell daddy on you. And I'll be like, I'm going to tell daddy on you too. I got a relationship with him too. What you mean? You know, and so.
He's quick though. The Lord will be like, you were wrong.
And it is.
And he tells me that too.
He does. It's very few and far in between though. It's we have the relationship where we know who we are for each other.
Yeah.
But we also know who we are in God. And so that's
one thing that is so important is that you come complete, come whole.
Right.
Maybe not complete, but whole. Like you don't have a whole bunch of baggage behind you. Come to a place where you're already whole.
Mm.
You know who you are.
Mm.
See, it took 5 years for me to get whole.
Come on now.
And to know who I am. Like the Lord, I always wanted to be daddy's little girl. Mm. I was never daddy's little girl. My father really was never in my life to that point. And I always wanted to be daddy's little girl. And now that I have Christ in my life, I am daddy's little girl.
Mm.
And he takes such good care of me, you know, to a point.
That's the thing is you said it. If a marriage doesn't consist of a whole and healed person coming together with another whole and healed person,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to have, the marriage is going to be full of strife that's because of unresolved wounds,
right.
unhealed things in their past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's typically what marriage counselors would do when a couple comes to them first. you know, like tell me about your they'll say we got to do y'all individually first, because they'll ask about their childhood, mm-hmm. ask about past trauma, they'll ask about all that, because if none of that's resolved, then that's a big issue of why there's conflict in today's mm-hmm. marriage.
Yay.
So, you know, a lot of people want to say marriage is 50-50. It's not.
It's 100.
It has to be 100%, 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two people giving 100%, 100% mm-hmm. of everything, their energy, their time, their whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be 100%. If one is giving less than 100%, mm-hmm. there's definitely going to be some strife. Mm-hmm. So, all right, men, y'all have, I've taken y'all over your time. And I loved, I'm going to say, we talked a lot before we actually recorded, and I loved mm-hmm. that part too. Mm-hmm. I loved hanging out with y'all. And that's what I love. I like to make this podcast where
yeah.
some people, it just feels like we're in the living room back having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but let's wrap it up, and let's give a message specifically to people behind bars. But if the Holy Spirit leads where you want to just speak to anybody specifically, mm-hmm. whether they're out or inside, do that. And KJ. Or I just learned your first name, Kevious.
Mm-hmm.
You talk to your camera, and you talk to your camera. Who wants to go first?
Let her go first. Go ahead.
Okay. You want to go first?
All right.
Guys, I just want to tell you and that, girls. And the girls, ladies yeah. too, yeah. but definitely just who you are. You are kings. You know that you are a child of God. You are a queen. You are a king. You know your place in the kingdom mm. because you are his child. You're not just, you don't just wear a number. You are a person. You are not forgotten. The Lord loves you with every inch of his being. And he is chasing after you. All he's asking is that you turn around, because you're going to be embraced with a love that you cannot even ever comprehend or understand. He loves you that much. There's a song called "He Loves Like a Hurricane." Can you imagine the greatest hurricane in your life?
Mm.
You know, or in nature?
Mm.
When he loves like that, you know, he loves like that, because he will go after you. So just know that you are his child, and he desires relationship with you, not a religion. I learned about Jesus first.
Mm.
I didn't learn about religion. I learned about Jesus. And that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus loving you to the point where he gave his life for you. And so just know who you are in him.
Amen. Amen. All right. Follow that, man.
I can't. Ooh, that's good, man. That's good.
Ooh, man.
You made me. Ooh, that's good. If people had been told that they are loved from an early childhood, they would understand love on a different level than a person that hadn't been. It's impossible for us to know love if we don't know Jesus. If we don't understand who God is and how he has loved us so much, it's impossible for us to understand that. I learned for me, when I asked the Lord for something different, when I was in that bad place, when I was in that dark place, when I didn't know which way to go, when I didn't have direction that I needed, I asked the Lord for something different. And he said, "I got you." He said, "I got you. I need you to do what I told you to do." And the reason why I said that is because you can be in a dark place. You can be in a bad place. Everybody could have left you. Everybody could have given up on you. They could have thrown you away. That does not mean that you don't have value.
That's good, KJ.
That does not mean that you're not worth anything. You have value. You have worth. And your value is much more than anybody could ever place a value on. what God did for me is he changed who I am. And regardless of the things that happen, even today, there are people that do not trust me. There are people that do not accept me. There are people that are jobs that won't hire me. That it's all of that. You're going to deal with all of that when you come home. You're going to deal with all of that in life. That does not mean that you do not have value. You cannot let those things dictate your value. When I met my wife, I was in a bad spot, man. And the Lord began to remind me of something that he showed me a long time ago. My first charge was aggravated robbery. Ephesians 4:28, it says, let a man who stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands rather, that he may have something to give to those who are in need. Mm-hmm. Today, we hire ex-felons at Jay Woodwork. We train. We do all I can. We do all we can to work with organizations like the Wayback for reentry, for job placement, for clothing, references. We do everything that we can to provide the opportunity for people to see Jesus and see their value. It's not about getting a job. It's not so much about just because you could go anywhere. Everywhere, there's people hiring everywhere. You know, you can get a warehouse job anywhere. But for what we're looking at in terms of longevity in life, an impact, I don't want to just make an impression. I say it all the time because I'm a carpenter. There are two main drills that I use. One is just a driver and one is an impact. Mm. That driver, it spins and it'll put the screw in. But when I use my impact, I use my impact when I want something to go in there and never come out.
Come on.
So we desire to make sure that we do what we can to make an impact on your life and everybody's life that we come in contact with. You should do the same. God got a blessing for you on the other side. God bless you.
Man, you guys. All right. Well, let's pray it out.
Yeah.
And let's pray this out.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this platform. We believe that their story has pointed people to you, Jesus. And it's one of redemption. It's one of reconciliation, Lord. It's one of ups and downs, but it's one where you're on the throne in their lives through the ups and the downs. And we thank you for that, Lord. We believe that people are listening to this right now. And Holy Spirit, you are convicting them to salvation for the first time, but also people that have strayed from the Lord are going to come back to Jesus because of this episode. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for their businesses. We thank you that they are going to flourish. We thank you for that 2024 is going to be the best year for both of those businesses in Jesus' name. We believe that they're going to have to hire more permanently, not hire and then let go. We believe that they're going to be able to bless families and bless other people coming out of prison. We believe that their marriage is going to impact other people's marriages. They're going to be able to pour into other people, and their marriages are going to change and turn around because of KJ and Marcia's story. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in them and through them, and what you're going to continue doing in them and through them as a couple, as a kingdom couple, but also as kingdom business. And thank you for their ministry. Thank you for their talents and gifts. Lord, thank you that you brought them together. Thank you that you allowed that big old horse wearing a white uniform come into Marcia's life. Thank you for the whispers to both of them throughout the whole thing that this is exactly what you have for them, Lord. And we just cancel the attack of the enemy on their businesses, on their lives, on their marriage in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you for them, Lord. And we pray blessings. We pray seasons of blessings on them right now. I know, God, you're a seasonal God. And so we know that there's a winter season, but we know there's a spring right after that and a summer and a harvest. So, Father, what may have felt like a winter season for them, we ask you to spring them into spring.
Hallelujah.
And allow them to feel the flourish of spring and summer and then the harvest of fall. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all, thank y'all for coming on the show. Thank you for not letting your background hold you back, but making it pay you back. And I appreciate your time. I went over and I apologize.
No, you're
but good. Just take that up with Holy Spirit because I told him to be in charge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, you good.
Good? All right.
Appreciate
love
you.
Y'all. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Background Check Podcast, brought to you by Forgiven Felons, helping people with a past realize their future. For more information, please visit ForgivenFelons.org. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and please don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss the latest episode. I'm J.D.N. Gum, and this has been Background Check.